In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, let me be the first to wish you all a Happy New Year. Today, of course, is the first day of the new liturgical year, right? Today we switch to what the church so poetically calls Year A, to be followed next year by Year B, and then Year C, and then it starts over again. You'd think maybe at least we could call it the year of Matthew, because we'll hear Matthew's gospel most Sundays, and then the year of Mark and the year of Luke, but no, A, B, and C. And of course, as you know, today is also the first day of Advent. So we've got a new liturgical year, we've got a new season of the year, we've got Advent. And the question, of course, is what the heck is Advent? Advent is probably the least well-known and possibly even in the church, the most misunderstood season of the year. My hunch is if you were walking in downtown Bluefield and you asked someone on the street, what's Advent? I think you'd probably get one of two answers. One might be, I don't know. The other might be, well, isn't that about getting ready for Christmas? Well, in a sense, Advent is about getting ready for Christmas, but in a more theological terminology, it's about preparing for the birth of the Christ child, the entering in to the Christ child and to the world at Christmas. But really, the main thing that Advent is about the second coming of Christ. Now, I think as Episcopalians, it's fair to say that on average, we don't think a lot about the second coming. We don't focus on it in our life in the church. Which is kind of funny because, you know, every Sunday we talk about the second coming and we declare the second coming. You know, that part of the Eucharistic prayer where we say, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Yeah, that's the second coming. Now, some theologians might minority of theologians might suggest that the second coming has already happened, that the second coming was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, first fully human, fully divine, and then risen Lord, Son of God. Or that the second coming was with the gift of the Holy Spirit, the entering of the Holy Spirit into the world at Pentecost. But our scripture, of course, reflects the more traditional view that the second coming will be at the end of time. Right? Now, interestingly, in the readings that we heard, particularly from Isaiah and Matthew's gospel, we heard kind of two conflicting visions or images of end times. Now, we might normally expect the prophet to have kind of the doom and gloom vision and Jesus to have the grace and hope-filled vision, but not today. It's switched, right? In Isaiah, we hear a rather idyllic vision of end times, a time when all of the peoples of the world will stream to God's holy temple, a time when war will be no more, a time when we will all walk in the light of God. Personally, I find Isaiah's vision of end times to be much more comforting, particularly in this time when we are dealing with war, we're dealing with terrorism, with mass horrible acts of violence. And then we have Matthew's vision, end times being like people being swept away by a flood if they're not prepared, people being suddenly taken away during the middle of everyday activities, like a thief breaking into our house at night. Now, frankly, based on what I believe about God, that we worship a God of love, a God of forgiveness, I tend to think of end times in a more positive light, a time when pain and sorrow and death shall be no more. So when will we see the second coming of Christ, and what are we to do? Well, you know, you've probably heard stories of various fundamentalist groups and sects that have predicted that on this day, it's going to be the end of the world. So they sell all their possessions, they go up on the top of the mountain, and they wait. They do nothing but wait. And what happens? Well, we know the rest of the story. Nothing. They are disappointed. Well, you know, there are at least two problems with those folks. Number one, they apparently didn't bother to read the part of the scripture where Jesus says, only the Father will know when this will happen. And then, the second, we're not called as Christians to do nothing. That's the last thing we're called to do. Maybe you remember that old bumper sticker said, Jesus is coming, look busy. Remember that one? Well, I'll tell you what, I think that a better slogan would be, Jesus is coming, get busy. Get busy doing the work of Jesus Christ in the world until his coming again. Now, this Advent, there's actually one more thing that you all are preparing for. Someone else is going to be arriving. Now, anybody care to guess what I'm referring to? What are you all preparing for the arrival of? Paul Barker, is that what I heard you say? Yes, Paul Barker will be here right after Advent. So ironically, it's another thing that you all are going to be preparing for during this season of Advent. But I have a word of caution. As your interim rector, I need to remind you that Paul is not the Messiah. Paul is not your Savior. Paul is a wonderful human being. He will bring a number of gifts and talents. He will love you, and I believe you will love him. But he is a mortal, a human being, and what's more, how many Paul Barkers will there be? One. How many of you are there? Well, today not quite as many as usual, but you know, you get the point. There are a lot more of you than there are of him. So my prayer for you this Advent season, and after I'm long gone from this place, my prayer is that you will support Paul with your love, with your prayers, with your deeds. And I urge you to step up to the plate and be even more generous with the sharing of your time, your talent, and your treasure. And that together with God's help, this place can not just survive, but it can thrive. So, enough of that. So, Advent, yes, Advent is about preparing for the coming of the Christ child into the world at Christmas. And Advent is about preparing for the second coming of Christ, whenever that might be. And this Advent, as we just said, is also ironically about preparing for the coming of your new pastor. But here's what I believe to be the most important thing about Advent. You see, I think Advent is a time for preparing for Christ to come into your life this very day. You see, the way we are and what we do allows Christ to arrive into the world anew every day. My prayer for all of us is that we can live our lives in such a way that we seek and serve Christ in all persons. That we can live our lives in such a way that other people can see and find Christ in us. And I pray that we can all get busy and that we can be the hands and the feet of Christ in the world until his coming again in power and majesty. Amen.